Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff's G Tonight. I had forgotten, but tonight I'll be busy. Tonight I'll be busy after the show because we have a Patreon hangout, so it will be double program. Patreon, Subscribestar hangout for the supporters of the show. We should start this at around 8 p.m. Eastern time. I am absolutely astonished. I was looking at my girlfriend. Indescribable, her beauty. It is an absolutely stunning realization to understand that this woman somehow showed in my life. There is no word to describe how beautiful she is. And yesterday, we were talking about people who try to influence the show, and you know, people that are annoying, like MB14, who say you should talk about Silver, JF, or people saying you should have guest again, JF. And my girlfriend said something very interesting. She said, "I wouldn't have the lack of humbleness to even try to describe what it is that you do, let alone counsel you in what you should do." And it raised a question in my mind, which is, what is it that I do? Because it's true that streamer doesn't quite fit the job. Author doesn't quite fit the job. I'm highly inspired by a guy whose name is Pierre Falardeau. He is a Quebecois guy, so you may not have heard of him if you're an American or English-speaking country. But Pierre Falardeau is an inspiration to me. And the proper term for what we do is we are polemist. Polemist is the term. We seed polemic. Pierre Falardeau was a documentary filmmaker that was extremely nationalist Quebecois. He was always making films about either a kind of despair about the Quebecois people or a kind of hope about the Quebecois people, as the Quebecois failed again and again to reach their independence from Canada. And there is one thing that Pierre Falardeau did at some point, and I knew that one day I wanted to do that also. And in English, it would not be polemist, it would be polemicist. I'm a polemicist. Okay, polemicist is probably better in English, yes. And one day, Pierre Falardeau did something that raised a lot of shit in Quebec. I don't even remember who it was, but some political enemy of him died. And he wrote an editorial the next morning that was just destroying the guy, and that was finishing with, "Go to hell, trash of bag. Va en enfer, ordure." In French, of course. But what it meant is, go to hell, piece of trash. And the glory of Pierre Falardeau was to do this the day the guy had died or the day after. And back then, of course, it was Trudeau's father, so it was Pierre-Éliott Trudeau. So Pierre-Éliott Trudeau, ex-Prime Minister of Canada, father of the current Prime Minister of Canada, had died. And he says, go to hell, piece of trash. And, you know, the whole too soon violation that this was something for all Quebecois to read. And it's like, that was Pierre Falardeau. That was the guy who would push the limits of society and of politeness to stand for moral pillars that he truly believed in, and he truly believed that Trudeau was a piece of trash. And with the developments of the internet, things have become so fast that we can do even more than Pierre Falardeau, which was next morning calling the guy a piece of trash. I noted in my commentary on an early stream in 2015, I defended Sargon of Akkad for making a joke about someone that had died something like an hour ago or 2 hours ago. And I was like, this is what planetary live production will look like. You can now piss on the tomb of your enemies as they die, as their families may not have been fully noticed yet. And you can already piss on their tomb. And I've always known that one day I would do like Pierre Ferrado, which is why I told you guys, all the people in my blacklist, all the people who interact with me dishonestly, who lie about me, who spread smears about me, all the people who don't follow the proper rules of intellectual engagement on the public space, I will urinate on their tomb. I will write their eulogy. I will take a shit on their reputation the day they died. And I'm categorical about this. It's still what I want to do. I believe in joyful vengeance. And there is just too much injustice in this world for a more polite interaction than this. Now, yesterday, I got to do half of what I want to do eventually. I wouldn't say that one of my sworn enemies has died yet, but yesterday, the son of my sworn enemy died, and I took a shot. He ingested a drug, 19-year-old, former YouTube CEO's son found dead in UC Berkeley dorm. The 19-year-old son of former YouTube CEO Susan Wojcicki was found unresponsive in his dorm room at the University of California, Berkeley, last week. Marco Trapper, so apparently it seems like one of these accidental overdoses, you know, accidental, of course. It's a risk that you run when you take these drugs, that they are. And in fact, at this point, any drug, even pot, can be laced. So at this point, taking any drug is running the risk that it is laced with fentanyl and that the fentanyl concentration is too high. So basically, he was found unresponsive in his dorm room. He was going to the university. And I took a piss. I took a shot on his tomb as he was dying. Isn't it ironic that the woman who insisted on being the moralizing mom for the entire world through draconian censorship practices failed herself as a mom to keep her own son from the path of drug abuse and death? Trooper appears to have died of a drug overdose. With all the livelihoods and families destroyed by Wojcicki's radical censorship policies, I cannot shed a tear when karma hits back. And just like the popular editorial of Falardo on Pierre-Éliott Trudeau that I saw in my youth, polemicism is still the same. It worked. Because my job is to get a lot of engagement, and I got a lot of hate. I got 2.4 million views at this point, and easily the 2 million more through the retweets and the spreading. So extreme engagement on this tweet. Lots of hate sent toward me. Lots of too soon. But I'll keep doing this. I'll keep doing this. First, for those who say it's not irony. Yeah, it is irony. It is ironic that the very people who appoint themselves to be the moral guides of humanity, they're not even capable of being the moral guides of a few children that they have. You know, when you stop conversation on immigration, when you ban videos like the video of Mama JF that was just talking about migration, borders, and hey, there's dangers with this, and when you have a fentanyl crisis in your country that's precisely due to the porous border that you have on the southern side, when you keep people from discussing right-wing lifestyles, and Stéphane Molyneux was pointing out, too bad that she banned my channel. I could have helped her son. Maybe the son would have benefited from some self-help channels that were deleted. Maybe the son would have benefited from a view centered around reproduction like the one I defend. but you don't have this on YouTube anymore. And it is ironic that the moral busybodies who feel like they can tell you to inject some substance that is basically experimental on 3 months of data acquisition on a restricted population, and they say you should put this in your arm, and they probably lead to much more death than the number of deaths per drug in their own family through these decisions. But it's funny when they fail at educating their own. And it's funny when what could have helped their own is precisely the things they banned. Discussions of the border, you could solve the fentanyl crisis in America. Discussions of self-help, this guy could have gotten self-help from a Stefan Molyneux type character. Discussions of centering your life around what matters rather than drug consumption and hedonism. This guy could have benefited from my channel. And finally, perhaps this guy didn't have the physiology to handle a fentanyl shock. Perhaps, we still don't know exactly what was the drug that killed him, but let's say it's fentanyl or something else. Maybe his physiology was not top. And it's not impossible that the vaccine censorship of Susan Wojcicki also played a role. So all in all, yes, I will take seriously the control of speech, because, and in fact, my tweet revealed that, yeah, it was a needed tweet, because there's lots of these leftists that are coming to me and they're saying, oh, bro, this is so much more important. A life has been lost. You're just talking about inconvenience of censorship. You're just talking about Susan Wojcicki's business decisions. No, wait a minute. YouTube is more than a little business that has no consequence. YouTube is more than inconvenience. When you cut IDs from YouTube, you cut access to these IDs to the minds of the country. It has radical impacts on the entire world. Life or death impacts. And what's happening in terms of censorship at YouTube is a much bigger crisis than anything that you can count in terms of number of bodies, because it reaches the point where wires are being thrown on false information, where genocide are happening and cannot be denounced, where medical fascism is installed and cannot be denounced, and most importantly, the invasion continues of the US, and that you certainly can't denounce for years on YouTube. And that precise invasion comes with the porosity of a border that comes with fentanyl and drugs that kill people. So I will hold people like Susan Wojcicki to the highest standard in terms of the consequences of what they do, because it's so much more important than any other regular business. These people are deluded, thinking that it's a little frustration that I have because she banned my channel. First, she didn't even ban my channel. What I hold Susan Wojcicki to, because I chose to go away, because what I hold Susan Wojcicki to is that she attempted to control my mind and the mind of everyone else. She attempted to put boundaries where we didn't want boundaries to be put there in our minds. She attempted to control the male mind through a female morality of control and censorship. So it's not JF is frustrated. It's not this. I am not a guy who's driven by emotion. When I write a tweet like this, I am driven by responsibility. I am driven by the responsibility of the polemicist, of the guy who's able to say something that no one else has said yet and that needs to be heard. And this is exactly the kind of guy who's been shut down by the Wojcickis of this world. Saturn Shine says, too bad her son couldn't watch JFG on YouTube. Yeah, so good reap on the provocation. One lesson I learned reading the leftists triggered at my tweet is that they completely lack an understanding of censorship as a form of business cartel for mind control They keep minimizing what Susan Wojcicki has done as just some inconvenience, a business decision you didn't like, or sending you to do your stuff on another website. We have to remind people that free speech is the foundation of our society, and that the control of the minds and algorithms equates to a monopoly of thought, a claw over our epistemological process that inevitably results in life or death for various humans. And the people who appoint themselves at the top are the worst. This is what's most disgusting. It's like, it's not even me, a guy like me who would be quite liberal in his handling of YouTube and thought. No, you appoint the worst of the worst at the top, and these people don't even have their house in order. They don't even have their house in order. And to the people who tell me, Jeff, no parent can control what their children do. At some point, they're going to be adult, and if they just turn toward drugs, they turn toward drugs. You can totally influence this throughout the lives of your children, even if at some point they are adult. The way you will have raised them will influence whether they will be tempted through this horizontal proposition of their peers. Hey, you want to try this drug? You want to try this drug? Let me tell you, there's a kind of human mind that will just look at you and say no. And doesn't matter that they're 19 years old, they will tell you, no, I don't do drugs. That kind of mind is the kind of mind that will not be raised by the Susan Wojcicki of this world, that will not be raised by someone abandoning their child every morning to a state agent who doesn't care, who's not invested, who doesn't have skin in the game, in the success of your children. Naberius says, Amish, hold my beer. Yeah. How many drug overdoses are there in the Amish community? And see, people lack imagination, because a lot of these people making this argument, they were coming to me and saying, they will end up in a public school, and who knows, they might have a good teacher or a bad teacher. But precisely, why would you put your child in a place where you know you're flipping a coin? Why are you flipping a coin on your child's future? Especially if you're Susan Wojcicki. I know that public school is a coin flip. Why would you flip a coin on your child's future? That you can homeschool, you know? The Amish do it. Dead Star says, JF, if you haven't heard Renato's YouTube anthem from 2007, it's a great reminder of the hope folks used to have for YouTube. Renato was the first YouTuber partner and first vlogger.
Tube it, everybody do it. Off like a rocket, and now you can't stop it. Chad and Steve made us all believe. You can post a video, you can be the star. Stand up and say, we know we got the power. Tube it, everybody doing it. Make a video and let you.
Okay, I didn't know about this song. Thanks for letting me know. By the way, as a reminder, we have our Patreoning out right after the show. So if you'd like to join the Patreon discussion, it's a private discussion happening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Join the Patreon or the Subscribe Star at the $20 level. Pearls X, the TikToker Wanaya Johnson, has been arrested for alleged domestic violence. So domestic violence, according to TMZ. I don't judge people on allegations, so I don't know that he's committed this violence. It could be, it could not be. He's a generally aggressive guy in his character. But I, as a public performer, I understand that sometimes I yell at the mic and it's really not emotionally driven. Like, people keep bringing back this whole me yelling at Andy Warski that he's a low IQ idiot. And it's like, yeah, that wasn't emotional, man. It was just performance. So sometimes you can perform so well that that people see a form of emotion in you that's not in you. So I don't know if is the fact that he's aggressive on his TikTok is a representation of his everyday behavior. People have said, people like Pearly Things have said that he is a soft guy in real life. I'm willing to believe it. But also, you know, women are pretty crazy and they can constrain you to self-defense. And the fact that he got arrested and then he paid a bail of $50,000, so he could be liberated. The fact that he got arrested and that she didn't get arrested, to me, is not indicative of anything. Because she may very well have initiated the physical aggression, and yet the police will take the guy. So we'll let some time pass, but that reminded me that I had an offer for Just Pearly Things. Back in the days, I didn't have my girlfriend, and so I felt like making an offer. It's not been answered. And now I find myself with a woman who is my girlfriend, who is orders of magnitude more beautiful than Pearl, which is stunning, because I've always said Pearl is an 8, a 9 out of 10. You know, she has kind of weird shoulders, but she has the athlete sport shoulder, you know, the overtrained woman shoulders, so... That's too bad. She won't ever get rid of those. But other than this, Pearl is a rather beautiful person, but compared to my current girlfriend. And, you know, my current girlfriend is more traditionalist than Pearl, more loyal in terms of marriage, more loving, more caring, more intelligent than Pearl. And she's more beautiful. So that's why I'm always astonished when I think about it. But looking back in September, I said, I am hereby offering to squirt out baby with Pearl. Insemination claimable between the months of September to December 2023. For birth around June to September 2024, travel fees may apply. This is not so different from the email I sent to my current girlfriend. So... You could say, I approach Pearl with the classical approach that I approach women with. And my current girlfriend said yes, and Pearl didn't answer. So that's why I find myself in this situation. Now, Pearl's ex, he has been identified by TMZ as having been arrested on domestic violence charges. He was in a hotel. There was an argument. Was it an hotel? He was in Burbank, California on February 12. He had a verbal argument that turned physical at one point. It is unclear what happened to them. And the persona of this guy is very worrying. It's actually unhealthy for the youth. Let me show you what it looks like. It's not good that our children, like 5 million views, 31 million views, and this guy's whole team is, ha 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 ha, I am angry, and I do stuff on TikTok. And our kids are getting flashed with this information. Like, it passes on their screen without them really browsing for it. It's like,
I partner with Amazon to play deal roulette. So let's see what this is about. Who getting a good deal today? What's she getting? A two-person tent? Me and her. Why though? Of course, it makes sense. I partner with Amazon to play deal roulette. So let's see what this is about.
It's not particularly interesting. There's no subtlety.
TikTok,
it's not intelligent.
TikTok don't prioritize their creators, bro. Every other app do except TikTok. And I think that's the problem. And explain something to me, TikTok. I got 28 million followers, right? Why do I have followers who haven't seen my videos since 2020, bro? Why? You know how many people I run to in real life and they be like, bro, I ain't seen your shit. since 2020, and then they show me on their phone they still following me? What the f*** they following me for if they ain't getting fed my content, bro? It's not an oversaturation problem. Yes, it's over 1 billion people on the TikTok app. But it's plenty of room for everybody to enjoy it. But you're not prioritizing the people who's keeping this app popular, bro. I feel like the people who follow me, once I post something and they're on their For You page, the next slide up should be the video I just posted. I should have at least 28 million.
Yeah, people are asking me to translate. It's a guy complaining and he's specializing in making these... the mix of the angry and the cute music. I guess I should take it as a sign. I'm feeling lonely. Oh, I wish I could a little bit to hold me. Now I'm crying. And by the way, this is all over TikTok, that kind of stuff. It's a lot of the TikTok thing is to mix one video to another. It doesn't say anything. It's just, oh, look at the contrast. Ha, ha, ha.
We wish you a Merry Christmas. We wish you a Merry Christmas. A Happy New Year. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
So, media is becoming less intellectually stimulative and more addressing of the needs of the retards that populate this planet. And this will keep going. I mean, media kind of was a high IQ thing. It was elitist. But the more you give people power to converge toward whatever their reptilian brain of retards can converge to, and you get the media becomes molded for the intelligence levels of the population, which itself is going down. Same thing here, TikTok, Instagram. Ay, mi amor, you make me un poco loco. Where should I put my shoes? Ay, mi amor, you say put them on your head. Ay, mi amor, you make me un poco loco. Great Jungle Erectus says, races are not real, we was Kangs. it's worrying because TikTok is kind of a brain control thing. The youth will be raised as consuming mostly this rather than long form explanations and people who respect the English language. So people will be totally, their brain will be like spots of attention that can last 12 seconds maximum. It's going to look bad. The society going forward, we already have the impact, if you will, of this on school performance. Society is going down. Silver Spider says, this is why you can't have a free market. This is what you get. I mean, I'm all for letting it happen, but protect your children from this because there's a way they can be directed toward this. And There's a pipeline between YouTube, YouTube Shorts, and this. Because YouTube Shorts is the same thing. It's these little bouts of 10 seconds, and people are elevating themselves as public personalities. But really, you saw them 10 seconds doing some weird Mexican voice, and that's it. It's not funny. It's not parody. There's no greater message. You just get bombarded with this. Very dangerous trend. New guy says, protect children. Yes, absolutely. Charles Garrity says, very concerning if this is what is popular for the youth. Well, it is. Let me sneeze. All right, I had to sneeze. White Pill says, Jeff, why do you feel that the dissident right content creation is so terrible these days? There are so many creators that I want to like. I admire their bravery, but virtually all alt-right content creators left are talentless midwits with absolutely nothing to say. Did censorship win? No, censorship had an effect. Of course, censorship has dropped the viewerships. It has forced people to check their language, to not go at places where we could go before. So it certainly lowered the number of paths. But I would say what happened to alt-right content creation in general, there's a combination. So the popularity, because of the censorship, you have smaller numbers and you are more and more in a context where it's not an event anymore. You know, there was something special when you were seeing 13,000 live viewers on Warski Live and we were talking about some alt-right subject of some kind. There was something special because you knew you were at the place of the internet. There wasn't any other place to be. It was the biggest stream. And so you knew that whatever was happening there was shaping the world in the maximal way possible on the internet. Now drop the audience number by one order of magnitude or two, and now you have less people, and now you know that you're in a little circle jerk. You know that you're with people who think alike. Now, that can feel good, and it's kind of what I intentionally drove toward, a smaller audience. But at the same time, it doesn't have that societal significance that our streams had when we were changing the world with them, when we were at the center of attention, because we were the thing that was happening on the internet. So there's a little bit of this. But at the same time, I would say, even without the censorship, even without the dwindling audience numbers that the censorship caused, I think that the alt-right kind of the creativity that was there has run its course. And it has found every possible thing that it had to say that could change the world. Some of these things have been actually integrated by society. There is some discourse that was extremely minority 10 years ago has become kind of mainstream or kind of accepted. Like we've had Jon Stewart basically responding to anti-Semitic talking points of the alt-right on mainstream television. We've had Ye push talking points around the Jewish community in a mainstream way. So there are certain things that have passed, and then there are certain things that have not passed, like the regularization of racism, if you will, if you want to call it that. That has not really happened. It's still everyone is racist in their mind, but it's still a taboo to say it, and it's still a minority that will say it, especially on anonymous forums and anonymous Twitter accounts. So certain ideas have passed, certain ideas have not passed, but there's no place for new ideas because they were with the kind of pillar of thought of, hey, how about I start respecting white people as a legitimate political group? What can this lead me to do? What can this lead me to think and say? The space of everything that's possible with this axiom has been explored. And so, yes, myself, I don't watch alt-right content anymore. I hardly ever did. Because I don't want to be on a stream where there's a guy who says, oh, yeah, we're white. And yeah, oh, yeah, hey, here's a news item. And here's how it relates to us being white. And here's what white people should do in response to this. It's like we've gone through this. We've done the thinking process. And to me, I don't want to say move on because it's not moving on. But you have to, if you are an intellectual, you are interested in thought. And once you have explored everything that a thought can give you, you want to jump to another. Not because you give up the last thought, but because you're interested in digging further. What can other forms of thinking lead me to? So that is the reason you have kind of a wimp. You have kind of a people are getting tired. The IDs are getting tired, and sometimes they will come back in fashion. Sometimes they will come back. when they are useful to new dimensions of the world that we hadn't thought about. Or sometimes a movement will survive in becoming kind of, it will inspire other things. Perhaps in 10 years from now, there will be a totally new trend on video production. And I'm almost certain that these new trends that may have nothing to do with alt-right discourse will take some of the trolling energy, some of the creativity that was there back then. So there are various ways in which cultural movements survive. But as far as the explicit exploration of, hey, what if white people were to get together and consider themselves as a political entity? Well, we now know, and we've been discussing it, and certain of these things, we can still make them happen. Certain will happen naturally. Certain things will just never happen. Like, I don't know that we will reverse the demographic curve. So that's it. The alt-right has come to its final fruit. That's why you have a slowdown. What do we have here? An aggression of an old man.
Get the fuck out my way!
Go get some help.
I don't give a fuck. Get the fuck out my way.
Sit down.
It's old motherfuckers like you, and then y'all wonder.
So she was probably being belligerent. From what I understand from the beginning of the video, she was belligerent, and he kind of decided to just stand in place. He told his wife to go in, to not get involved, but he decided to stand his ground in front of the belligerent black lady. Of course, he's old, so you have nothing to lose at this point. But in general, I recommend against standing so close to a psychotic black woman.
Why black people act the fuck up? Because you white bitches think y'all got it all. But you got the right motherfucking one, bitch. Fucking try me. Yeah, smile all the fuck you want. I'll spit in your motherfucking face. You better back the fuck up. And what? That's a threat? Is that a threat? What? Listen, what the fuck you talking about listening to you? You told your wife to go find a seat, and you took it upon yourself to turn the fuck around and get in my motherfucking face. Now if I could put my hand on your own ass, get the fuck out.
So the whole, there's nothing to be won with this interaction. You don't want to go back to their face. You just want to leave them in their shit and walk away. In fact, I might have changed restaurant just to, it's like, okay, we're not in the right area because there's nothing to gain. See, she's been yelling in his face for 1 minute. He tries to increase his tone a little bit, and she replies with a slap to the face. Now what? What are you going to get from this interaction? She's a woman. She just slapped you in the face. What do you do? Do you reply? If you want to argue that it's in self-defense, you have to do it very quick.
On my face! Yeah! That's, what?
That's all you need.
And now he gives her a slap. There's nothing to gain in just equating what was just done to you. You know, if you don't overpower with a greater amount of violence than what was done to you, then she's not falling, so now she can strike you again, and now she strikes him.
What's wrong with you, motherfucker?
He assaulted her. I'm recording.
And amazingly, the woman who's recording this is saying he assaulted her. He didn't assault her. She yelled at his face, she slapped him, and then he slapped her back. With equal force, basically. But you don't want to play this game of equal reply, because you have nothing to gain. You're just going to lead them to escalation. You're going to be in trouble, and you're going to have these stupid filmers of this who clip the video and who make it look like you're the first aggressor.
The right fuck is wrong with you? What?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
Don't.
Now get his ass back! Okay. Now get him the fuck back! I'm sick of these fucking crackers! I'm sick of you crackers! Now get him the fuck back!
This was probably a man who has taken it upon himself to try to teach her some manner. But you're not going to teach the black population manners as a whole. You're not their parent. They're going to resist. They're going to be triggered. And so the behavior that you have there, the old man, is the behavior of a parent. You're trying to induce some discipline in this woman. You won't. First, because she's old. Second, because you would have had to parent her from the beginning. Third, because even if you were to parent her, she probably would have the genes that would still lead to the same outcome. So there's nothing you can do. Don't confront psychotic black woman. Porn star Cagney Lynn Carter, dead at 36 after suicide. Someone was sharing this article with me before the show began. I don't know about this girl. Quickly before the show, I looked at her Pornhub. What do we see? We see just her having sex with thousands of guys, thousands of videos. It seems that she was very well known. I've seen interracial porn and then all sorts of the regular porn that you would expect. I have nothing to say. Is her suicide related to the fact that she was feeling demeaned, that she didn't have a sense to her life after all this sex? Maybe, maybe. Master Slave says, got to train your whipping wrist motion. Maybe next time, says, suicide rate is high in adult actors. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you are basically sterilizing yourself effectively. Not that you can't, in principle, have babies, but I'm sure that if they have babies, they become less performant at their jobs because they have first 9 months during which they can't do their job, and then they will get a little fatter. And so I believe that you are basically making a life sacrifice being a porn star, and you are putting yourself in all these demeaning situations. Perhaps there are some girls that find it exciting, you know, this fantasy at the beginning. But when you've gone through 1,500 dicks in your life, it must be pretty tiring. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, the first time it sounded exciting and I would get money. The 1,000th time you have to suck a dick in front of a camera, it must not feel good to have to wake up in the morning. Like, can you imagine this? You, when you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh shit, I got so much work ahead of me. But that's for my coding work or for stuff that I still like to do. But imagine your work is to suck a dick. Here we have Ukraine. Ukraine has fled from Avdiivka. The Ukrainian soldiers have been basically bombarded as they were stepping back from their position. Russia has won Avdiivka. And here we have the trans spokesperson who doesn't wear her wig anymore. Maybe she started identifying as a guy again. I don't know.
Ultimately, I have to disagree with President Biden. Avdiivka is not a loss for the Ukrainian military or the Ukrainian people. It, in fact, is the first sign that our commander-in-chief, General Sirski, is truly putting our lives as soldiers first as he strategically redeployed the troops outside of encirclement in order to push us closer to victory a victory that will lead to the country's 1991 borders and the implementation of President Zelensky's 10-point peace formula. Ultimately, I have to...
It's like trying to frame the loss as a victory. Well, it's a strategic redeployment. It's not a strategic redeployment if you do it in expectation of a peace deal. That's not strategic redeployment. Strategic redeployment is, oh, we would so much benefit on this front, and we don't need these troops here, so I'm going to move them from here to here. What you're doing, if you're doing this in the expectation of a peace deal, then you are admitting defeat. It is the proper term militarily. You have had a defeat in a battle, period. It's not strategic redeployment. It's unbelievable that he's trying to make the two cases at the same time, that it's strategic redeployment, but it's also, it's going to be good for peace. Because we go back to traditional borders. Bro, how incompetent can you be? You're telling me at the end of this war that, oh, it's all good because we're falling back onto traditional borders. So you're telling me that Russia was totally justified. If this is traditional borders for Russian people versus Ukrainian people, you're telling me that all these years you were lying to us. You were lying to us when you were trying to claim back Crimea. Because he just said it's the traditional border, so it's going to be perfect for a peace plan. Well, no shit. That was the peace plan of Vladimir Putin 1 year ago, and you refused it. Houthis sink British ship in the Red Sea. Says Lord Bebo. Apparently they have finally succeeded at sinking a ship. I don't know, maybe a commercial ship. Yemeni rebels attempting to impose a blockade on Israel fired rockets on a British ship and managed to sink it. The first time it has succeeded since the start of Israel's war. We have Jim Tots getting called out at this point. This girl is like filming herself in the gym with this balloon. Let's see what she's doing.
Yeah, what are you doing?
My leg day warm up?
No.
The guy of the gym comes to her and says, yo, what are you doing?
Don't give me that bullshit. I know you know what you're doing. So actually,
I'm like,
This is fucking ridiculous. Don't come to my gym. Do this shit. Keep this shit online. Don't fucking do this at my gym. I don't know. Was this a legitimate exercise or was this with the goal of Pearly filming herself for the TikTok? Is that a thing? I'm not a gym bro. I have no idea. Is that a legitimate exercise or is that just meant to show us her ass?
Yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, it's a sexual act. It's she is acting out what a woman does when she's on top. Okay. So yes, that was definitely a sexual porn-inspired TikTok. What else do we have before we head toward the private hangout? Lots of scenes from Avdiivka. Trapped by falling concrete, despite their precarious situation, they did not run and abandon their fellow fighter, but a lot of Ukrainian soldiers have been leaving alive injured fighters behind. There was a story on CNN telling the story of a soldier who was unable to move and he was left behind and eventually got killed as the Russians advanced. He was a medic, but as his team of soldiers left, they just couldn't carry him and he was disabled in his two legs.
Держу.
So this guy appears to be stuck under some sort of concrete.
Ну давай, вылазь, вылазь, братан.
Поднимаю, ножку вытягиваю.
Подмочек я.
Давай.
Плиту держи эту.
Держу.
So they are already running away and hearing the tank attacks. Meanwhile, Russian had air support, so you had a lot of massive explosion. But the Ukrainians are just standing there with ground-only troop, no air support. So lots of explosion of strategic points. Here we have the Ukrainian War Channel publishing video showing soldiers of the 2nd Battalion of the 3rd Assault Brigade of the Armed Forces of Ukraine, heavy fighting. I don't know if these shootings are meaningful or if they're just doing it for the camera. Sometimes it seems like they're just filming really the gun rather than the target, and I wonder if there's a target at all. Well, that seems like someone who's injured or dead. As a last news item before we head to the Patreon hangout, large demographic shift in American TV series staff. According to Writers Guild of America West data, people were wondering, why is it that TV sucks? Look at this. Woman, from 2011 to 2020, from 35% of staff writer to 63%. From 18% of executive producer positions to 27%. Men are down across the board. People of color, 28% in 2011, 55.6% in 2020. They are plus 27%, plus 40%, plus 26%, plus 30%. 23, 23, 17, 10. So that is why TV sucks and it will keep sucking. You have gotten rid of the only people who were capable of writing good material and producing it to a wonderful work of art, white heterosexual men. Rudy Lucid says, but JF, what proportion of Jewish writer jobs were lost? That is the real tragedy. Oh, yeah. There was, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, where a guild of Jewish writers came out and they said, don't forget about the Jews. And it's like, oh, my God, you get what you fucking deserve. You were all in for this whole let's diversify. But you hadn't realized that the diversification would inevitably go toward you taking back your place in society, which is like 0.3% or 1%. It's certainly not the place that you were occupying before. So your diversity wish have come to bite you in the ass. That is it for the regular show. Give me 15 minutes. And at 8:10 p.m. Eastern Time, we will start the Patreon Hangout, the Subscribestar Hangout. So go to the Subscribestar link below to subscribe at the $20 level if you want to see the link at your Patreon or Subscribestar website. That is it. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow.